The Chinese company that's now bigger than Facebook and a latte to go much further.
We could one day expand to the US and help get the transport systems and homes there powered by coffee.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. A huge Chinese tech firm that's barely known globally has jumped in value to over $500 billion, becoming one of the world's biggest companies. Tencent, which owns social media and gaming platforms, is now worth more than Facebook. The BBC's Robin Brandt has more from Shanghai.
Tencent does a lot of things online. Games, music, video, books, but its golden egg is called WeChat. It's ubiquitous here in China, where almost 1 billion people use it every month. What started out as a messaging platform now lets you pay, order a taxi, invest, get a takeaway, the list goes on. Tencent is hoping to expand its offering abroad, but it's proving difficult to get users outside China to embrace it. The company has long agreed to censor content here in line with the demands of the Chinese government. And there are also persistent concerns about security, because unlike some other messaging apps, communications on it are not encrypted. In Shanghai, I'm the BBC's Robin Brandt for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets in Asia and Europe are up. Japan's Nikkei closed up 154 points or 0.7%. In London, the FTSE 100 is up 7 or 0.1%. Now, global food prices could start to rise in 2018 because of uncertainty over climate and trade deals. That's according to a report out today by the Dutch investment bank Rabobank. Steven Vogel from their food and agribusiness team is lead author of the report.
Clearly, the biggest risk out there is weather. And we are moving now into a situation where the La Nina, which is a severe weather problem that can bring dry weather to the Americas and the growing regions there, but also impact production in other regions, that risk is increasing. So we're basically talking 75% chance that this is going to materialize early next year. It has been growing over the last couple of months. That's something to keep an eye on.
The report also talks about uncertainty over trade deals. Now, specifically, do you mean things like NAFTA? How would those negotiations potentially affect food prices?
Absolutely. I mean, those are our core issues to look at. And if we see NAFTA, for example, the United States is heavily depending on the trade partners north and south of their borders. At about 25% to 30% of the corn is going to Mexico. If with NAFTA this trade flow cannot materialize anymore, this would be a severe supply issue for Mexico, but even more severe demand issue for corn out of the United States, and could therefore have actually a declining price effect on corn, for example. But it's not only corn, it's also a lot of the livestock products produced in the United States are going into Mexico. If the meat cannot go to the Mexican side, that will have a negative impact on prices for U.S. farmers.
Stefan Vogel of Rabobank. Now, if you live in central London, this is a familiar sound. Those iconic red buses, part of the diesel-belching transport system that the mayor says is choking the city. Another familiar sound there. As you fuel yourself with coffee this morning, could coffee waste also fuel public transport? In a global first, a London company called BioBean is using coffee waste to do just that. Arthur Kay is its founder.
BioBean is a green energy company, and we work with coffee shops all across the UK to collect waste coffee grounds and bring them to our factory. And here we then recycle those waste coffee grounds into a range of different biofuels. And now with the support of Shell, we're producing the world's first coffee-derived biodiesel, which is now helping to power London's buses.
There are all kinds of different biofuels. Why did you latch onto coffee in particular?
Not only is it packed full of oil, but also the actual solids left behind afterwards are very energy intensive as well. So if you compare a kilogram of waste coffee grounds to a kilogram of wood, there's actually more energy in coffee than there is in wood.
How much fuel can you produce at the moment? Give us an idea. How many buses could it run?
So BioBean's factory has a capacity of about 50,000 tonnes of waste coffee grounds each year. And London produces about 200,000 tonnes of waste coffee grounds. And so the scale at which we're operating from a waste perspective is pretty significant. But when we look at biodiesel, this is a large-scale demonstration project. And so for this, we've produced about 1,500 gallons of coffee-derived biodiesel. And when blended with mineral diesel, that's enough to more or less power a single London bus for an entire year.
It is blended with diesel, but eventually, could you run a bus on fuel only derived from the waste of coffee beans?
Absolutely, and that is definitely our focus. In this case, we've blended it with mineral diesel in order to be used within our existing energy infrastructure to make sure all of our fuels are compatible with existing infrastructure and you don't need a new bus or a new engine or anything to use it, so it can be used today.
So you're starting in London. What's the potential globally?
We see big, big potential for this globally. Obviously, coffee is one of the most popular drinks in the world. And in fact, in the US alone, they drink about 164 billion cups of coffee each year. So a serious opportunity to move over there. Working with instant coffee factories, coffee shops, we could one day expand to the US and help get the transport systems and homes there powered by coffee.
Arthur Kay of BioBean. Finally, look out for the red briefcase tomorrow as the British Chancellor presents his first budget after the June election. The red case denotes a high secret security level, and one version or another have been used for more than 150 years. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.